Hello, and welcome to The Double Pivot, the world's most agreeable soccer analytics podcast. I am Michael Cayley. I'm back from vacation. I have two important things to report. One is that I played in a poker tournament and I was good compared to the other players at the table. It's a new experience for me. Very exciting. We'll probably do some podcasting about it. I can't help myself. And two is that savvy listeners may have noticed that last week I did not have my pop guard on vacation. I did bring it, and it broke. I have a new pop guard. So welcome to the double pivot, people. I'm joined by Mike Goodman. How you doing, man?
I'm good. The music here on the way is Whalers. Please download, subscribe, make us happy as podcasters. Patreon.com/double pivot. Come hang out in the Discord. There's lots of chat. Sometimes it even devolves into poker chat and the off-topic channel, because I too am playing a bunch of poker these days. I live in Europe where it is legal to play poker online, and so I'm doing so, playing a little bit of poker. It's I only took about 20 years off or so. No, that's not true. 15 years. A good 15 years off, to be fair. It's a little bit different than it used to be, but I enjoy making money playing poker. It's fun, in my opinion.
It's a really, really fun game. Speaking of fun games...
Now that is a transition. Should we start with Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, which I guess was fun?
There were goals.
Yeah. Couple penalties that I don't really think anybody can have too many ref talk complaints about.
Thank goodness.
Kick a guy's ankle, it's a penalty. And so it was an interesting game in that, like, it was very current stage Real Madrid and current stage Bayern Munich in the Champions League, in that, like, Real Madrid really did not try to contest possession very much, and Bayern Munich were frequently happy to have lots of possession.
Yeah, so we might as well start with the lineups, which I think there were a couple of choices in these lineups that set up the game to be what it was, that Bayern decided to run out the same fullbacks with Mazraoui on the left and Kimmich on the right, and they decided to play Thomas Müller, you could say behind the striker, but he spent very little time behind the striker. It was very 4-4-2.
And to a certain extent, it was Kane coming deep with then three bodies to play the ball to as the game developed. And a lot of sort of what was happening was like Müller occupying the center backs and kind of pulling off to the side of the center backs. Yep. And then one of the two wingers making out to in runs.
Yeah, which, I mean, both Sané and Musiala especially are built to do that. Yeah. And so, you know, that was one of my questions with, like, what's it going to look like with Musiala on the wing? Musiala is not a winger, even though he has winger production. And Müller pulling over to that side with Musiala coming in was often how that dynamic worked. And then on the other side, Real Madrid start Nacho and Rudiger as their center backs, with Tchouaméni in midfield with Kroos, and Valverde in, you know, I kind of thought at first it was going to be more of a wing role, but it was really, really internal midfield.
Yeah, it was very much clog up the midfield. I mean, I think it was like Valverde was supposed to be a body that the wingers would run into when making out to in runs. I think that the most sort of salient point about this midfield, at least in possession, was that oftentimes now, like, you put Kroos where you want him on the field to be passing the ball, and he gets covered for defensively. And you can either put him in sort of deeper lying six-ish areas or further advanced eight-ish areas, but not both, because he can't get from one to the other, really. And generally, in the last 18 months, he's been more eight-ish than six-ish. In this game, he was, like, very six-ish. He was very, like, the way it works is you get Kroos on the ball, and he plays the transition pass. Like, and like that's what the goal comes from. But that was clearly, like, the game plan, right? Was that, like, it's not that Kroos is going to be playing passes in and around the final third to unlock a defense, which is something he's very capable of, but that he would be playing the transition passes into Vinicius, Rodrigo, and to a certain degree, Bellingham.
Yeah, and so the dynamic of this game to start was that Bayern Munich just had the ball and pushed forward. They got like five or six shots in the first like 10-15 minutes, and they really were dominating and controlling the game, and they couldn't, there were defenders back for each of those shots, but it looked like it could be just like them getting crushed. And then Real Madrid get one goal off of, they managed to have Cruz as a deep-lying passer still make the pass into the penalty area for the opening goal. But after that, it was a very tight game, rather than it being the domination that the first 10, 15 minutes suggested.
Yeah, and, like, to be clear, Bayern dominated the first 10, 15 minutes, but did not create tons of XG from it. Such that when Kroos plays in Vinicius for the opening goal, like, it's such a good chance that Madrid are in the lead by XG at that point as well. Yep. I mean, it's a very clear, like, it's like a very clean, like, this is what XG is and this is how it explains it to you, which is that, like, it captures that Bayern, for all their possession dominance, really did not break down Real Madrid very well. And then on the counter, Real Madrid had one extremely great counter. And things change a little bit in the second half, to be fair.
Yeah, so after that first stage, Real Madrid's defense was just sort of better, I thought. There were fewer shots, is the big thing. They were not allowing Bayern to get into the penalty area and get shots very easily. And then the other thing is that possession evened out quite a bit. This Bayern team, so long as Real Madrid ceded possession to them, early in the game they moved through easily. Later in the game it seemed like the sort of really dense four-man midfield for Real Madrid bottled them up better. But the big thing for Bayern is that if they didn't have the ball, they didn't have any great ideas for getting it. And Real Madrid were able to play a quite a bit more defensive possession over the last 60 minutes than they did in the first 30.
Which, yeah, I mean, I think that is 100% correct. And they also bring in Camavinga, who is just very good. Like, I mean, he's an extra defensive body who is also very good in possession. Like, he's a very good player. And you know, they have to move to him and he back to center back, and they bring in Camavinga, and that gives them more passing on the field, is the thing. And they have quite exactly a lot of passing in their own back half, which means that if the transition moment isn't on, they're happy to keep the ball, but they're really not taking risks.
Yeah, exactly. It was very striking to me that, like, you know, Nacho didn't, if Nacho had come off at halftime, it would have been like, you know, okay, you know, tackles. He comes off at 64 minutes, which is just an odd time to sub off a center back. And he came off at 64 minutes after an opening 20 minutes of the second half, which was, you know, again, the opening, that was the best 20-minute stretch that Bayern had, certainly.
I suppose it's maybe worth talking about, like, did Bayern do anything different to create that good stretch? Because they do come out in the second half with the wingers flipping sides, and they do come out with, like, a, I don't know if it's different exactly, but when you flip the winger sides, obviously Sané in particular is very one-footed, right? So he's doing slightly different things when you put him on the side where he's coming in on his dominant foot. It's not clear to me in the first half he's supposed to be coming central. In the second half, it obviously is. And in the second half, Thomas Müller is obviously playing outside the shoulders of the center backs to try to drag them wide to create that space to come inside. And maybe that was supposed to be happening in the first half and it didn't work as well. But certainly in the second half, that was clearly like the thing they were aiming to do, which works.
Yeah. And so Sané and Musiala end up a combined 9 for 11 on take-ons. Like, they dominated the wide defenders who were tasked with handling them, or when they cut inside, they were able to beat the center midfielders. And that led to, again, Zane's shot. Like, Zane's a fun winger because he's able to play as a natural-sided winger because he can get shots from wide in the box that for anybody else would not be good shots, but because his left foot is so incredibly good. He just gets into spots where
you think, though, oh, a right-footed winger will cut inside and get an actually good chance. And he'll be too wide, it doesn't really make sense, and he will hit a rocket, and that's why people have to defend him, and you have to defend him at four shots, and he can play that natural footwear. But you put him on the right side and you gotta let him cut inside? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and then, like, even more so, they take off Bellingham and bring on Modric, right? Madrid, mm-hmm. with 75 minutes. And it's just like this overwhelming amount of passing. But again, it's not clear to me that they're, like, even down a goal at this point, that they're trying to, like, possess the ball high up the field and create a lot of chances. I don't think they would have been too terribly upset to get out of Germany down 2-1 going back home. That was, like, the impression I got from this stretch of the game. That, like, if all this passing creates opportunities for us, great. But, like, more than that, we want to make sure that we have the ball as a way to not concede another goal.
Yep. The other thing I would say about this is that Bayern end up with 0.8 non-penalty XG. And we've been talking about how good their ball progression was. I just kind of think Müller might be cooked.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like Thomas Müller out there. You saw the spaces he was getting into. You saw the ways he was combining with the wingers. And he ended up with 0 shots and 1 shot assist.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge with saying that Müller is cooked is not that it may not be true. It's that when Müller was great, he kind of looked like he was cooked. And then you'd look at the box score and it was like, oh, the dude had 4 shots and 3 shot assists and was, like, on the ball a lot. Like, how? Which is why he gets this, you know, reputation for, like, the space whatever, you know, and, like, just being very good at being in the right spot. And so now he's just, like, he's still, like, in those spots, but nothing happens when he gets the ball.
And, like, there's a certain amount of athleticism that you can see. There was that ball that bounces in front of Lunin that you think he's going to be on. Watching live, I thought he'd taken a shot. And he just didn't get there.
Yeah.
And, like, that, you know, that's exactly what happens when you have slowed down and your athleticism, which was perhaps always sneaky, is just not really there so much.
It was always sneaky and now it has snuck away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that's the, I mean, I don't have too much else to say about this game. I thought it was fun to watch. It was interesting, but it wasn't too terribly complex.
No. I mean, Real Madrid are a very well-coached team that are very easy to explain when you do a podcast.
I mean, I think that's right, but I think that what, like, Carlo Ancelotti has this ability to do, his teams can do a lot of different things that aren't hard to explain.
Exactly.
And that's really impressive. And, like, obviously it helps that you have, like, unbelievable talent, right? Like, Toni Kroos could be, like, an unbelievable passing possession 8 or unbelievable passing possession 6. You can bring on Luka Modric in the 75 minute for Jude Bellingham because, like, you want to be doing defensive possession. Or, like, you know, you're a huge transition team because you have guys like Vinny and Rodrigo who can, like, get out and like, they do a lot of easy-to-explain things, but, like, a lot of different ones, which is, like, cool.
Yeah, and it's very easy to explain the way that this team, like, turns these dials a little bit.
Right.
You know, as it describes, pulling Nacho for Camavinga is a way of turning the dial to have more passing, primarily, and a little bit more athleticism in the center to deal with all of the runners coming inside. But then it just works, and they do have more possession. And, like, it's not easy. It's easy to imagine the dial. It's very, very hard to create the actual wiring that makes the dial work when you do it and the players understand and can produce in their interactions the things that are supposed to be produced when the theoretical dial gets turned.
Look, I mean, one way I think about this, right, is Aurelien Tchouaméni is a young, very good, still developing defensive midfielder who has had to play a lot of center back this year and has done it well, right? And so it is very easy to say, oh, move your DM back to center back, and he's a good passer, and that will give you more passing when you bring in another DM. It is very hard to take a 23-year-old, I think he's 23, 23-year-old developing defensive midfielder and have him not take more off the table as a center back than he brings bringing his passing to that position. And that is the kind of thing that Carlo consistently does. So...
yeah, so Tchouaméni is recently turned 24 because
he was 23 until he was 24. Thank you very much.
He was indeed. So, do we have anything we think about the second leg of this? I just kind of think that Bayern are just going to turn the dial back to defensive possession, and the whole game's going to sit there. Like, Tuchel went for it at home. It mostly worked, except a couple of plays didn't work and Müller didn't work. Like, tactically, the ideas seemed right, and they didn't get there, I think, with Min-jae and with Müller. And then in the second leg, they're just going to be way more boring.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you could very easily see Guerrero, who played the second half of this match in center midfield, when I think they realized that like Madrid weren't really contesting possession, and then you put another sort of passer, like final 30 guy in the double pivot, and it worked. But I think you could see him doing what they did in the quarterfinals and starting him at left midfield ahead of Mazraoui, and, you know, taking Müller off and putting Musiala in the middle. Like, that would be that would be my default expectation.
I think, yeah, you put Musiala in the middle, you do Musiala Kane trying to break down Madrid, and you have an extra passer defender on the wing. You also get quite a bit more pressing putting Guerrero onto the wing. So it's harder for Real Madrid to just get the ball and keep the ball in the way that they were able to in this game. I think that would be the thing that if Tuchel wants to control an away match, that would be the way I think you try to do it.
Yeah. As for Madrid, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's like a mystery who they're going to play, but I don't know what that's going to like translate to on the field, which is like the genius of Carlo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we know like he's probably going to dial the attacking up somewhat, and I really don't have a read on how well that's going to work against this Bayern team.
Yeah, no, me neither. I mean, it would not surprise me to see them be less invested in Kroos playing transition passes and more invested in playing the ball up to Kroos to then sort of quarterback and sort of take the risk of being overrun in the middle, which might make sense if Bayern have one less attacker.
Yeah, I think that makes a fair amount of sense. All right. So we are going to do a little podcast on the other game next. And I hope you enjoy that one too.
Cheers, y'all.
Cheers.